Madam Chair, we are live recording and you may gavel in the hearing when ready.
Thank you. Morning. The audit hearing for Democracy Engine Incorporated PAC, the committee will now come to order. This hearing will be conducted pursuant to the procedural rules for audit hearings adopted by the commission in 2009, which is available on the commission's website. Representing the committee today are Council Neil Reif and Treasurer Jonathan Zucker. I want to say welcome, gentlemen. Morning. On October 15th of 2021, our audit staff emailed the draft final audit report of the audit division to the committee. On November 1st, council requested a hearing on behalf of the committee, which the commission granted. The committee has stated that its request is limited to findings one and three related to record keeping and reporting of conduit activities. Council, for today's hearing, you may make a brief opening statement. Following your presentation, the commissioners, the general counsel, the staff director will have the opportunity to ask questions. At the end of today's hearing, you will have an opportunity to make a closing statement. As stated in our audit staff's November 8th letter, your statements at this hearing should present issues and arguments that you have already brought to the attention of the audit division. Absent a request by a commissioner at the hearing or intervening events subsequent to your response to the draft final audit report, you may only present issues and arguments at the hearing that were raised in your response. Council, please proceed with your opening statement.
Yes, thank you. And this is a little unusual, but I think the most useful way for us to present to you today is to allow Mr. Zucker, I wanna make sure from a procedural perspective, this is okay with you. I think the most useful way for us to present to you the information that we think is important to this hearing is to allow Mr. Zucker, who is also here as counsel and as treasurer of the organization, to make a presentation as well. So I want you to make sure that this is not just limited to myself in terms of a presentation.
That's fine.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, great. I just want to be clear that I wouldn't be the only one talking today. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to bring these issues to your attention in this hearing. I'm going to reserve most of our time to Mr. Zucker to kind of, and I'll explain that in a moment. But our general concerns here relate to two main issues. One is what we believe to be an area of great uncertainty in the law with respect to fundraising and conduit contributions through credit cards. And the second major issue is what we believe to be a major overreach in analysis here by the audit report and the negative precedent it will set for people who do fundraising in this area. I believe the most useful way for us to kind of give additional information, we've already laid out our legal positions in our letter to you requesting this hearing. And I think the most useful use of our time today for us to allow Mr. Zucker to kind of give a lot of background context to his organization, why it started, and kind of the framework here for why we are here today, because I think this is a very unusual situation. This is not a very straightforward situation. And I'd like Mr. Zucker to kind of give the commissioners a background. And I think it would really help you understand where we're coming from and our concerns related to what we're presenting here today. So I'm going to pass this on to Mr. Zucker to kind of explain and give you all a historical background related to Democracy Engine and its PAC. So Jonathan, from there, I leave it to you.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, may I speak?
Go ahead, Mr. Zucker.
Thank you. And thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. And I apologize for the fact that I'm not on video. As I explained prior to the hearing, I just simply do not have the upstream bandwidth to stream video reliably. So I'm going to be on audio. The auditors seem to me to be framing their conclusions of the audit as if Democracy Engine LLC had been set up as a way to get around Democracy Engine Inc. PAC's disclosure and record-keeping requirements. In reality, the exact opposite is the case. The PAC was created to disclose activity by donor clients of the LLC that, in hindsight, as Neil has indicated, probably should never have been reported in the first place. In 2009, after 4 years with ActBlue, during which I served as both COO and CEO, I founded the LLC as a for-profit partnership to build tools to facilitate donor contributions to candidates. I was primarily interested at the time in building tools focused on donors, not recipients, and focused on issues rather than partisanship. Back in 2009, due to a paucity of existing guidance on for-profit vendors to donors handling contributions to candidate committees, and given donor familiarity with earmarking, we established the PAC. Through 2018, the PAC has never made a contribution to a candidate independently of an earmark. And the only funds the PAC has had that were for its own use was an initial $5,000 donation deposited into the Citibank account to cover a handful of operating expenses. Those funds were exhausted by 2012. And sometime after that, the account was forcibly closed. Through 2018, the PAC did not have a merchant account of its own to process credit card donations, and all reported conduit activity was by credit card that was never deposited in a PAC bank account. In 2011, as the commission would be aware, we sought an advisory opinion, advisory opinion 2011-06 for the LLC, which concluded that donor payments to the LLC with instructions to transfer to recipient federal committees did not constitute political activity requiring registration by the LLC. In spite of the conclusions of this advisory opinion, and out of an abundance of caution to accommodate donor comfort with the framework of an earmarked contribution and the interest, frankly, of transparency, the PAC continued to follow the procedures that had been adopted in 2009. Subsequent to 2018, but prior to receiving notice of the audit, for reasons having nothing to do with FEC regulations, but due to changes in Visa and MasterCard brand rules, we changed the model for the PAC. The PAC opened new depository accounts with Amalgamated Bank, filed an amended Form 1 in September 2019, and also pursued its own merchant processing accounts. In December 2019, we received notice of this audit, which was triggered by some amendments we had made to more accurately report our activity for the 2018 cycle. In hindsight, it's clear to me now that we should never have been doing any of the reporting that we were doing. As the audit progressed, I retained counsel, and we, in discussions, realized that it was incorrect to have reported this as depository conduit earmarked activity. As a result, we amended our reports for the audit period to report this activity as memo entries. And even now, we believe we are probably over-disclosing the activity and await your guidance on the proper way to handle this sort of credit card conduit activity. I realized that the reporting model adopted in 2019 was wrong and that we have already changed it. However, it's pretty important to me not to be responsible for a bad precedent that might negatively impact others due to my abundance of caution. And on a final note, with respect to the record keeping, I just want to note that we handed over everything that was requested of us, from detailed reports by the LLC of every donor transaction processed and distributed to the candidate, to the LLC serving as a vendor to the PAC in that regard, to the bank account statements of the LLC account through which the donor funds flowed in an attempt to allow auditors to verify the existence of the reported activity, and even detailed what portion of each distribution by the LLC to specific candidates was activity reported by the PAC. The auditor's argument that the LLC account was actually a PAC account, which seems to be the core of one of the findings, is, in my opinion, rebutted by the fact that the LLC has all sorts of other activity in the same account, because the LLC continues to operate as its for-profit vendor, providing the services, software and services to its clients. I wish to apologize for the mistakes that we made that resulted in this entire audit process. However, our only desire was to accommodate our donors and provide additional transparency. The issues raised in the audit bear no relationship to the way in which the PAC currently reports or operates. And at this point, I just want to thank you very much for your time and look forward to receiving your guidance in this matter.
With that, we finish our opening statement.
Mr. Reed, did you have to jump in?
No, I don't. I'm saying that concludes our presentation.
Okay, thank you. Let me open this to commissioners. Any questions? And let me also ask the audit staff.
Madam Chair.
Vice Chair.
I did have a question actually for the audit staff. Does OGC or the audit staff, whoever would like to take the question, have a response to the argument that there would be pretty significant practical difficulties in maintaining a bank account with no money in it, which I, in my limited personal experience, have run into both personally and on behalf of clients. I know there's a statutory argument here, but is there any sort of response to the underlying discretionary point that was made in the response?
Madam Chair?
Mr. Markham.
While the IPAC did not have activity, we did identify activity that we believe should have been deposited into the DEI bank account and not the Delsey bank account. And that was for potential nominees. So we were identifying that there should have been, not just on the statute, but also for the nominee funds that DEI or Delsey actually did report.
Madam Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Reif, do you have a response to that?
I think factually, I think Jonathan would probably be best to answer that question from a factual perspective. So I'll defer to Jonathan on that answer.
That is factually correct. There were nominee funds in limited amounts to which contributions were made.
Let me ask, are there any further questions? Mr. Reif, Mr. Zucker, would you care to make a closing statement, excuse me?
Sure. Again, we appreciate your time. We just want to make sure there is clarity with respect to these issues regarding to fundraising by organizations online. Here, especially in this instance, I think the one major concern we have is that the commission, and this is obviously not an issue per se for this audit and this hearing, but the commission should certainly consider updates to their bundling regulations, because as the bundling regulations exist right now, which were obviously written many years ago, way before there's been a huge prevalence of online fundraising for candidates, they are not really equipped to handle the concept of an online fundraising directly to candidates, where a PAC never actually touches the money. Your bundling regulations only have two scenarios, one where a PAC raises money directly into it, or they're actually handling some kind of commercial paper, such as a check. I will posit to you all that most of the online fundraising for candidates at this time is happening directly to candidates through companies like Jonathan's. So I do believe that the major issues that we address here today and the problems caused by Jonathan's abundance of caution were caused by, as Jonathan described it, a paucity of guidance. So we would hope that you could take this opportunity not only to resolve this audit, but also to think going forward about giving more guidance to the regulated community regarding online fundraising directly to candidates. With that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. As you were notified, an audio recording will be made of the hearing and will be posted to the commission's website at the appropriate time. The commission may rely on the contents of the audio recording in its consideration of the issues raised or in any subsequent action, and the committee may be bound by any representations made at this hearing today. And thank you to Mr. Zucker and Mr. Reif for your appearing today. This hearing is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.